Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, Social Media and Sex Offenders Edition. I'm your host, Christopher Goffis. On June 19, 2017, the Supreme Court decided Packingham v. North Carolina. Lester Packingham was convicted in 2002 of taking indecent liberties with a minor in violation of North Carolina law and sentenced to prison time followed by supervised release. In 2010, he was arrested after authorities came across a post on his Facebook profile, which he had set up using an alias, in which he thanked God for having a parking ticket dismissed. Packingham was charged with and convicted of violating a North Carolina law that restricted the access of convicted sex offenders to social networking websites. Packingham challenged his conviction on First Amendment grounds, arguing that the North Carolina statute unlawfully restricted his freedom of speech and association. But the Supreme Court of North Carolina ultimately rejected his claim. The website access restriction, the court concluded, was a content-neutral, conduct-based regulation that only incidentally burdened Packingham's speech, was narrowly tailored to serve a substantial governmental interest, and left open ample alternative channels of communication. By a vote of 8-0, the U.S. Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the Supreme Court of North Carolina and remanded the case. In an opinion by Justice Kennedy, the court held that the North Carolina statute, which makes it a felony for a registered sex offender to access a commercial social networking website where the sex offender knows that the site permits minor children to become members or to create or maintain personal web pages, impermissibly restricts lawful speech in violation of the First Amendment. Justice Kennedy's majority opinion was joined by Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Justice Alito filed an opinion concurring in the judgment, in which the Chief Justice and Justice Thomas joined. Justice Gorsuch took no part in the consideration or decision of the case. And now, to discuss the case, we have Ilya Shapiro, who is Senior Fellow in Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute.
It turned out to be a rather straightforward case. Also unanimous, 8-0, although the majority opinion by Kennedy, joined by the more liberal justices, and then a concurrence by Alito, joined by the Chief and Justice Thomas. I'll go into that in a moment. Not really differing on rationale, but differing on what Alito calls undisciplined dicta. He kind of faults Kennedy's flowery prose, I suppose. This case involves the First Amendment rights of sex offenders. It seemed like Mr. Packingham was going to win, but unclear exactly how and what the rule would be, that sort of thing. And, you could appreciate why someone could be skeptical, because after all, sex offenders are the most marginalized group in society, ahead only of cannibals, I suppose. So it has to be the rare case where the Supreme Court rules unanimously in their favor. And this is not a situation where some state decreed that anyone accused of a sex crime be chemically castrated without trial or any other kind of Eighth Amendment or due process claim. Instead, here, Lester Packingham, a man who served his time and was released subject to the normal set of registration and living restrictions, was sent back to prison because he accessed Facebook. So again, all eight justices held that this violated the First Amendment. So diving into the bizarre facts of the case, Packingham had served time for, quote, taking liberties with a minor when he was 21 and she was 13. Unrelated to that, he beat a parking ticket and then celebrated by proclaiming on his Facebook page, "God is good, praise be to God, wow, thanks Jesus." So no religious free exercise claim on this one, purely a speech one. But nevertheless, for this grave offense against humanity, he was returned to the big house under a North Carolina statute that bans such people from accessing a wide variety of websites. And the law was clearly meant to prevent communications between sex offenders and minors. but it sweeps much more broadly than any other such law in the country. Here's how it reads. North Carolina law makes it a felony for registered sex offenders, quote, to access a commercial social networking website where the sex offender knows that the site permits minor children to become members or to create or maintain personal web pages. And the Supreme Court found that this law was not narrowly tailored to serve a significant governmental interest. Translating from the legalese, this means that the state legislature slapped down a broad law that didn't closely track the social problem that it was supposed to target. As the court explained, and it cited my brief, Cato joined with the ACLU on an amicus brief here, the law, as I just read to you, could be used to bar access not only to things like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, what have you, but to any site where someone creates a profile and interacts with people. And that includes Amazon, YouTube, WebMD. That WebMD seems to be a popular example, both in the majority and in the concurrence, although I myself, I admit, have not ever used it, or even the Washington Post or New York Times. I mean, think about it. To log in to one of these sites, you set up a type of profile. I mean, it's not a detailed sort of profile like in Facebook, but you do that, and then you exchange comments. It fits under the rubric of that law. But even restrictions on social media alone would be troubling, the court held in Kennedy's majority opinion, if they weren't further tailored. Kennedy's opinion is really an encomium to the importance of web surfing. Quote, by prohibiting sex offenders from using those websites, North Carolina, with one broad stroke, bars access to what for many are the principal sources for knowing current events, checking ads for employment, speaking and listening in the modern public square, and otherwise exploring the vast realms of human thought and knowledge. So I guess this is a practice tip. The next time your spouse tells you that you're spending too much time on Facebook or Twitter, you can reply that you're simply enriching yourself with the wealth of human knowledge, citing Kennedy's opinion in Packingham. And there are other problems with the statute that the court sort of notes in passing, like its vagueness. People don't even know what they can or can't do that are subject to this. The police themselves aren't exactly sure. And the statute fails constitutional scrutiny because it criminalizes speech based on the identity of the speaker. As Kennedy put it, quote, even convicted criminals, and in some instances especially convicted criminals, might receive legitimate benefits from these means for access to the world of ideas, in particular if they seek to reform and to pursue lawful and rewarding lives. And indeed, the very purpose of the First Amendment is to protect unpopular speech by disfavored minorities. Singling out this speech for prosecution without any allegation that it relates to conduct or even motive has now earned the Tar Heel State a big dislike from the Supreme Court. And just a moment on the Alito concurrence. Again, as I said, he just quibbles that Kennedy has this encomium, as I've called it, to Facebook and the wonders of the internet age and so forth. And he wants to make clear that this doesn't stop states from passing much more narrowly tailored laws. Quote, here's from Alito's concurrence, the court is unable to resist musings that seem to equate the entirety of the internet with public streets and parks. And this language is bound to be interpreted by some to mean that the states are largely powerless to restrict even the most dangerous sexual predators from visiting any internet sites, including, for example, teenage dating sites and sites designed to permit minors to discuss personal problems with their peers. I mean, I think that's making a bit too much of what Kennedy does, but in any event, I think the court is clear. Even though the justices are generally very circumspect in terms of making sweeping pronouncements about the intersection of technology and constitutional law, because these things tend to be a moving target, and who knows what the shape of social media or communications or what have you might be in 5 or 10 years. But still, it seems pretty clear that the narrow tailoring point is hammered home. A state certainly can, and indeed every other state does, restrict communications between released sex offenders and minors without this kind of blanket ban on accessing most internet sites, or at least most that have any element of interactivity.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.